Kyle, how are you?
Good. Happy Canada Day, fellas. How are we doing?
Well, we're good, especially with all these reports that the league and the players have agreed to a return-to-play protocol, a new CBA, and talk that it looks like we're headed back to the Olympics in 2022 and 2026. And, of course, Kyle, the story to me that's just been way overblown and overplayed, we finally apparently have the destination for the hub cities in the NHL. It'll be Toronto and Edmonton. And for somebody who will be doing these games potentially at the arena, do you just feel safer, Kyle, that you're staying in Canada and potentially not going to the United States where these cases are just spiraling out of control?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I will say, I think, you know, if it came to the point, and, you know, as we've learned throughout this process, that until there's something official from the league, I suppose things still can change. But I mean, if it were to go in a situation where, like, it seemed like up until the last 48 hours or so, I guess, that Vegas or at least one of the hub cities was going to be in the U.S., I don't think myself or any other of the Sportsnet commentators would have been traveling down there anyways, at least to begin with. But certainly for anybody, whether you're part of the technical crew, a camera operator, a producer, to perhaps, you know, go down and work the world feed for something like that, if we do get a chance to have these games resume again in the summertime, there is a little more comfort, obviously, in A, being in your own country and not having to cross the border right now, and being in a situation like where most of Canada is right now, where, you know, the case count has started to come down significantly, and so far so good in terms of trying to flatten the curve. So absolutely. I don't know if even with both hub cities being in Canada, if that ultimately is the case, if someone in my role will be able to actually be in the building, if, you know, commentators may just still be restricted, at least in the early rounds, to be calling games off monitor. I think that's all still to be decided and discussed yet. But I think the fact that it's going to be in Canada just seems like it makes the most sense in terms of the safety of everybody involved. Obviously, with the Canadian dollar, I'm certainly is attractive for the expense that will come with all of this. And I understand why Vegas was such an attraction because of the tightness of the bubble in theory, but with what would be going on and what seems to have been going on around it over the last little while, I think it's just too much of a risk right now. So I'm sure there's still a lot of hurdles still to cross, but certainly more comfort in being in two cities in Canada, just given the health situation of Edmonton and Toronto versus the other cities in other areas of the United States right now.
Kyle, of course, this brings us one step closer to actually playing, but now we look forward even a little bit, and our own Elliot Freeman reporting on Twitter about the CBA and the negotiations there and the flat salary cap that's supposed to be over the next 2 years. And when you look at it from a Maple Leafs perspective of all of those big contracts, deals still to come, and I'm sure anticipating that in some degree the cap was going to go up, that's not happening. And so if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you got to look at this from a standpoint of, okay, what the heck do we do when it comes to looking forward and signing? And do you have to make a deal away of a star player to try to make this fit? Because this could get into crisis mode real quick for Toronto.
Right, because they're right up against it. And, I mean, we knew this was going to be an issue. Of course, we didn't foresee a pandemic coming through and changing all of this. But certainly for teams like Toronto, I mean, gosh, I was there at the GM meetings in Boca Raton, Florida, really a week before all hell broke loose, if you will. And the discussions there was, you know, coming in perhaps somewhere around 84, maybe even 85 million for a salary cap next year. And certainly for a team like Toronto and others that are right up against it, I mean, that was really good news. That was a little bit more breathing room to deal with. And now, with everything that's going on and the likelihood of a flat cap, there's going to be some difficult decisions to make. I think the fact that at least anyways, if they are able to have a return to play here and you get into that mode where it's going to be a little unique, a little unnatural, but nevertheless, you're being in a situation where you're going to be playing some meaningful hockey games right away. Perhaps that gives you just another look at your team. And it was such a weird year for Toronto. Some ups, there was a number of downs, obviously some changes that were made behind the bench, the biggest one, and just seemed like when you thought that they had found their footing, there was another stumble or a hiccup. So perhaps getting another look at this group here after just having some time to exhale a little bit, and everyone took a step back and took a step away from hockey for a little while. Maybe you get a better sense again of what you have as a group and who really you want to be part of your team moving forward. Because with things staying flat and as tight as things are right now, especially with the Maple Leafs and their cap situation, there's going to be some hard conversations to have. Obviously, I mean, the likelihood is that, you know, Cody Ceci, a guy who had a $4.5 million cap hit, they'll likely say goodbye to him at the end of this year. Tyson Barrie, even though they only brought in half of his salary in the trade with Colorado, perhaps he's moving on elsewhere. But I mean, Travis Dermott's going to be needed another contract. And then who else in free agency are you going to want to attract and go after in that sense? There's a lot of decisions to be made here, and they're not going to be easy ones, I think, just because of the situation that has presented itself here.
Kyle, when it comes to the players in a hub city situation, this is going to be something a lot of them are not used to. And when it comes to creatures of habit and guys doing the same rituals, hockey players are at the top of the list as the ones that hate the change the most. How tough is it going to be for some of these players to adjust to this new world, to potentially perform at the highest level, something they've never had to do before?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I can't speak directly for them just because I've never been in that scenario as a player, but certainly I can understand and appreciate the desire to have your routines and the different areas of the rink that maybe you had gotten used to warming up or stretching in, that maybe now that is cordoned off because they only want you in certain areas at a given time. But I just think, guys, I mean, you get into a hub city, and certainly all of it is necessary, but the daily filling out the paperwork and having your temperature checked and how many times per week you're going to get tested, and whether it's a nasal swab or something that can be more with like a saliva type test, it's going through that over and over and over again. I mean, I can see a situation where, especially if you're a team that's hanging around for a while and you're making a push deep into these playoffs here, if we do get to that point, I mean, it could get pretty tiresome. And I know it's, as I said, it's absolutely imperative that you have all of those measures in place, but the daily having to go through it time after time after time, I imagine that's going to be a little bit wearing here too. So it's going to be fascinating for me, where none of this will feel normal. It's all unprecedented. Nobody will be able to see, well, you know, when I went through this 5 years ago, this is what we did. Nobody's right. Got any experience with all of this. It'll be fascinating to me whether, you know, the players, staff, young, old, veteran, inexperienced, a rookie, a 20-year pro, who will be able to find themselves the quickest and find whatever level they need to get to in the shortest amount of time. Because especially for teams in this best of five qualification round, there's really not going to be much room for error right out of the gate after you get your initial training camp and exhibition games out of the way. I think because of that, it's really almost impossible to try to get a sense of, well, this team has the edge, I think, in going deep into the playoffs, because I don't think there's any momentum from this past season. Nothing, I think, will carry over into this. It'll be a clean slate for everybody, and everything that's going on, adjusting to new routines and protocol, and you go down the list from there. It's just going to be a full-out level playing field for everyone, I think, and who can find their game the quickest, I think we'll have the opportunity to perhaps go deepest in this thing.
Kyle Bukauskas is a ringside host for Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, joining us here on Sportsnet today. George and Andy on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We talked some NBA, and we know a lot of players, and even in Major League Baseball, Kyle, have opted out of not playing in a return-to-play scenario because of the pandemic and the social injustice issues south of the border. But will hockey culture let somebody not play if they're worried about their health and their family and friends' health? I just don't know if hockey culture lends itself to letting that happen. And I know it's 2020 and we should be at that point, but I just feel like I'd still be surprised, Kyle, if a player says, no, I'm good, it's not worth the risk.
Yeah, and I hope it's that thought and that feeling is something that's welcome. I mean, gosh, I mean, just as much as you look at it and go, well, look at all the millions of dollars that these athletes make, and it should, you know, look at the setup that's going to be for them. Everything is going to be looked after for them in terms of everything being sanitized and the amount of people that they get to interact with. Like, it's all going to be set up to be a nice, safe and healthy environment. And there's still a risk. Absolutely. I mean, you look at, you know, a player like Max Domi that has type 2 diabetes and other players that maybe dealing with other health issues that, you know, there's a legitimate conversation to have of whether or not they feel comfortable in playing. And for myself, I mean, I certainly will never judge anyone at this time. They kind of say, you know what, I'm just not comfortable being in this situation because, you know, I've got two young kids at home. I've got a wife that's immunocompromised, whatever it is. I'm just not comfortable with it. That's fine to me. And for the players that do want to play, then no power to you. Let's watch. We look forward to watching to see what you do. But to me, it seems, you know, it just does not reflect the right mindset, the right culture, I think, that you want to build, whether it's around a sport or society in general. Is we're starting to come out of this time again, and to look down your nose at somebody that, whether you're a hockey player, a basketball player, somebody that works at the post office, whatever your job is, your career is, if you're not totally comfortable coming back in this situation, I don't think you should be penalized or punished or judged for that. I think this is all about what you're personally comfortable with. And for the players under this format, this return to play format, I think it should be no different for them.
Well said. Kyle, now we've talked about it throughout the show. This is the 2-year anniversary of John Tavares signing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Massive free agent signing. But I put out on Twitter the worst free agent signings. And I put Toronto Sports, but you can, you know, dabble outside of that if you like, because as many exciting John Tavares signings as there are, there's many, many more awful ones that you look back and think, oh my, what happened? And a few of them, Maple Leaf side, we got the poll at AndyMC81, at RusticSN590, at Fan590. David Clarkson and Jeff Finger are for the Leafs. I put a Raptors one, Hedo Turkoglu, and for the Blue Jays, BJ Ryan. Is there just an awful free agent signing that just leaps off the page to you? One of those or something else that, you know, July 1st, John Tavares was cool, but there are some ones that just make you cringe.
probably David Clarkson for me, only because I remember that one so well, because so he signed in the summer of 2013, and then I came aboard with Sportsnet a couple of months later, and spent a decent amount of time around the Leafs that year and the saga that unfolded with Clarkson, and Dave Bolin was in there as well, and, you know, another guy that it wasn't a free agency signing, it was a trade acquisition, but and the way that season ultimately went off the rails over the last 12 games of the season there, and then missing the playoffs. But I mean, I remember was it the Toronto Sun, the front page, was it Wendell Clarkson there, and he had the handlebar mustache like Wendell Clark did after he was signed. I mean, gosh, I guess if one thing, you know, moving forward, you know, I mean, there was some mistakes that were made, I think, in Leafland after that. But it seemed like after that and the realization that this signing did not work out, there was an understanding, you know, maybe we need to really adjust our focus and our mindset with how we approach free agency on July 1. And so, you know, it led to obviously bottoming out and getting a top pick and some good drafting. And then it, you know, presents yourself the opportunity to grab somebody like John Tavares. I guess it would have been 5 years after that. So that's the one that comes to mind for me, just because of where I was at in my life when all of that unfolded. And man, it's always something that, again, like you just say, David Clarkson, and everybody knows kind of what's your
right.
what avenue you're going down there. So that was an all timer.
Kyle, just to circle back to the 2-year anniversary of John Tavares signing with the Maple Leafs, we heard all the rumors that, you know, potentially he was thinking about coming home to play for the Maple Leafs. And a lot of these guys in the NHL, they tend to stick with their original teams. And I think a lot of us thought that he's going to stay and re-sign with the Islanders. And then we heard that enormous contract to San Jose Sharks were willing to give John Tavares. What was your reaction when we saw it on Sportsnet signing season, when you heard it, that, he actually decided to come home. And that notion and that take that, you know, Leaf players don't want to sign in Toronto because they hate the pressure. Not only did this guy sign in Toronto, but he eventually became the captain of the team. What was your initial reaction when John Tavares decided to come home?
I was kind of like what you just said there. Like, wow, he actually chose Toronto. He actually chose to come home. Because I remember that prior season when I was living in Montreal at the time, but when they came through there and asking him the obligatory questions, like, you know, where are you at with a new contract? And, you know, he said the same thing over and over again, that he never thought of himself playing anywhere else but in Long Island. And for somebody like him, who is, you know, certainly never is one to go out on the limb or show any huge emotion when speaking to the media, but certainly you take his comments for what they are, and there's no reason to suggest he wasn't telling the truth there, and you thought that was kind of how it was going to end up. The one thing I do remember about that whole saga, because, of course, that went all through June and leading right up to July 1st, is what is John Tavares ultimately going to do? Where is he going to sign? I remember Arash Madani doing a live report out front of the CAA agency in California there with Tim and Sid. And of all the wonderful things that Arash Madani has covered and reported on in his career, that may have been my favorite, because it was fantastic. They're asking him, what's going on there? He's like, I don't know, guys. We're here on the sidewalk. There was a Brinks truck that just rolled by. I don't know if that's part of the pitch for John Tavares, but we've got nothing here, guys. Like, it was fantastic television for what it was, and it perfectly encapsulated just the sideshow that it had all become. But I think certainly, yeah, just because of all of that, you were a little bit surprised that he picked Toronto, because just to what you said, George, it was not the easy decision for him to leave what he had in New York and to come into a market like Toronto that is as loud as it is. But you know, clearly, it's worked out so far. Obviously, they haven't had exactly the success yet in terms of postseason. But, you know, 47 goals in year one, and then he becomes the captain. And who knows what happens here this summer if they get a chance to get playing again.